Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. This is Blog Talk Radio. We are a legacy of a nation, and I am Brother Mac. My loyal co-host, Sun752, will be with us as we are with you every Saturday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And we come with one of four messages. Those four messages are health, history, politics, and economics. We bring one each week for an hour, and we discuss we discuss health as it relates to us, we the Aboriginal people of North and South America and of the world. We talk about the Aboriginal community, the Aboriginal family, and we talk about it in the context that Legacy of a Nation knows that we are native to this land, and we are indigenous to this land, and we are the Aboriginal people who were found in this land when the Europeans came in 1492. Our ancestors had been here thousands and thousands of years before the arrival of the Europeans. And that knowledge has been suppressed, covered over, painted over, hidden. And as a result, we don't know who we are, where we came from, and how we got to be the way that we are. But Legacy of a Nation, in bringing to you knowledge of concerning health, history, politics, and economics, we feel that being aware of the machinations that these four areas cause you to be uplifted, to be invigorated, to be enlightened. When we bring one to you, we bring it in the form of a fireside chat, a chat among friends, where friends can sit down and discuss matters that concern them without fear of retribution, without fear of criticism, and without fear of revealing that there are things about you and your family that you don't know, and what an impact it would have made if you had known earlier in your life. And so, my loyal co-host, Sun752, is with us. Good evening, Sun.
Hey, Brother Mac. It's always a pleasure to once again be by your side, in your studio, and be able to broadcast and bring the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And it's a wonderful, wonderful evening, and it's always a pleasure to be here with you, Brother Mac. How are you feeling this evening?
Very fine indeed, son. Thank you for asking. It's been a fantastic day, and the change in the weather is one that we look forward to with expectancy. It's going to get cooler, as it has already, and it's going to get colder, and so this is the precursor, the end of summer, the beginning of fall, and it's a time of change. And that is right in line with the mission of Legacy of a Nation. We want to change the perception that the Aboriginal community has of itself from one of involuntary immigration from Africa to America, having been civilized and then sort of abandoned or hidden away from themselves and the rest of the world. And here we are, 50 million strong, without a knowledge of who we are, where we came from, and how we got to be the way that we are. 7752, let's see. You would agree, when we come to our brothers and sisters every Saturday with one of the four messages that we bring, one each week, today's topic being politics. And the question on the board today concerning politics is, when one of us does something, does it reflect on all of us? Or does it reflect on all of us when one of us does something? And before jumping to the answer, does it reflect on all of us when one of us does something that is noteworthy, something that is good, versus does it reflect on all of us when one of us does something that is negative or considered bad or illegal? And since everybody, too, if you would, let our listeners and those in the chat room know that we welcome them to participate in the discussion and how they might do that. Would you please?
Absolutely. I would like to welcome everybody to the Legacy of the Nation show. The Legacy of the Nation show broadcasts each and every Saturday evening from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you would like to be a part of our show, if you would like to be part of the conversation, the topic of discussion this evening being, does the behavior of one affect us all? We more than invite you to call in and give your viewpoint. And the number to call is the area code 347-677-1533. Once again, the number to call is the area code 347-677-1533. Also, for those that are in the chat room, if you come to the blogtalkradio.com site and are unable to open up the chat room, please refresh your browser and click on the On Air Now tab, and that should open up the chat room for you. If not, try a different browser, or you can call into the show. We have plenty of lines open where you can listen to the show in its entirety, and that works especially if you are mobile and are unable to be tied down to your computer. So with that being said, on behalf of Legacy of the Nation and Brother Mac and 7752, we welcome you to this week's broadcast, and I will defer back to you, Brother Mac.
All right. Thank you, 7752. All right. Okay. Launch the discussion, 7752, if you will, give me a brief on how it felt when Trayvon was, let's say when Trayvon was killed. And give me a brief, if you will, how you felt when we realized that the shooter at the in Washington was one of us. Did you feel differently, or did it reflect? Did it give you a feeling of, I wish, or I hope that it's not one of us? Can you reflect on the feeling that you get when the news is bad, as well as realizing that when the news is good, it usually is not broadcast in as favorable a light, or with the intensity, and does it have a good effect on you, or the way that you feel that you may be viewed when one of us is discovered to be an astronaut, or one of us designed the cockpit of the space shuttle, and it was never advertised in a way that got down to the grassroots people that one of us did that. Could you speak,
Brother Matt? Hey, it's a funny thing. When you think about it, and this is the way I've been thinking about this for a good while, I don't know if the Aboriginals, African Americans, Black people, or whatever we may be called or call ourselves nowadays are becoming copycats to equal the type of destruction that we have seen perpetrated by our European American counterparts, or if it's a situation where we may be played out, and that may be the reason why some of our alleged evil or bad or definitely negative deeds may be broadcast in contrast to us hardly getting any major acknowledgement of the things that we do, any of our humanitarian efforts, our efforts to improve life on the whole, not only for Aboriginals but for Black and Brown people, and as well as white people, red people, yellow people, and anybody else in this world. We don't get that type of coverage, just like you had noted. So, you know, you brought up the Trayvon Martin case. What I thought about the Trayvon Martin case, first of all, was that had the shooter of Trayvon Martin not been considered white, and I say that he was considered white because he's really a Latino, but he was raised as a white person, so he is allowed to go places and enjoy the perks of what a white person can do, or where a white person can go, and he has been able to escape the jaws of racism. So, had Trayvon Martin been profiled and killed by a Black officer, for example, I don't believe that it would have gotten as much coverage. It was a big deal because he was killed, he was profiled, and murdered by someone who's supposed to be white. Unlike Emmett Till, which happened 60 years ago, which was where he was targeted by a mob of angry Southerners and beaten to death and murdered as well. So there were major differences, and it was a wake up call to many people in this nation, because people like to romanticize that racism is something that used to happen, something that is a historical thing that doesn't exist in the same form that it does in fact exist today. So a lot of people had to come to grips with the fact that racism still exists, and that it could happen to anybody, especially people who are innocent. And as we talk about the actions or the behavior of one affecting all of us, it's an interesting thing that Trayvon Martin was not a criminal, because the way that sense, tried to portray him was that of a troubled youth. In other words, if we can sort of make the case that he had it coming, that he brought this on himself, that although he was killed, he was not murdered because it was a situation more of Trayvon Martin's doing than of George Zimmerman's doing. So if they were successful at criminalizing or demonizing Trayvon Martin, causing his own death, then that means that many Aboriginals would consider themselves off the hook and not look at the Trayvon Martin case as a wake-up call, because they look at it like, well, that ain't me. That only happens to bad black people. That only happens to criminal black people. That only happens to black people that are places where they should not be. That wouldn't be me. I am plugged in. I am assimilated. I am educated. I am connected. I am better. I am different. I am more worthy. I am someone who has free reign and domain to do more things because I understand the system better, and therefore I can do better. So many of us Aboriginals were able to separate ourselves from the reality of what the Trayvon Martin tragedy really symbolized to this country. And as far as I'm concerned, what the Trayvon Martin tragedy symbolized was that racism is still here, it never left, it ain't going nowhere. And for those who think that it has gone away or that it couldn't happen to them, you need to pay close attention. That's what I got from the Trayvon Martin case. I'm sorry, the Trayvon Martin tragedy. And it's a shame it's a shame that it has to be that way, that we could actually fool ourselves into believing that. Okay, you know, Brother Mac, before I turn it back over to you, I want to give this example. If you are able to distance yourself from the reality of what the Trayvon Martin case, Trayvon Martin tragedy symbolized to America, that would be like, because Oprah Winfrey is a billionaire, that we're all billionaires. You know, black people are not poor. They are not broke. They are not struggling. They are educated. They are famous. They're well-to-do. They're financially astute. And they have the influence to do and be whoever they want to be. That's what you would have to believe if you are able to distance yourself from what the Trayvon Martin tragedy symbolized to America. Now, this past week, we had a tragedy down in D.C. with the Naval Yard, where a black man opened fire on a bunch of naval officers and Naval Yard personnel. And you know, it's a funny thing that you asked that question. You know, was I thinking, oh man, I hope it's not a black guy. I hadn't thought that it would be a black guy by any chance. By no stretch of the imagination would I have thought that it would have been a black man who did it. But if you take notice it seems as though whenever we have a so-called terroristic incident affecting the United States, it seems as though they find a tragedy involving a black person to somewhat, not exactly equal it, but to make you aware that it ain't just them. At the same time, I don't know if it's just me, Brother Mac, but try this one on for size. When was the last time you heard anything, any more coverage, news or information or anything worthy of note about the Boston Marathon bombing? I don't know about you, but it seems as though that terrorist act has been thoroughly swept under the rug. Like, that was just one of them things. You know what I mean? We got the guys. Mm-hmm. We killed one. We locked up the other one, and that's just, hey, look. We're back to business as usual. No need for anybody to get bent out of shape about that. And I'm thinking maybe that's just me. But now that we have, right after the Boston Marathon bombing, what did we have? We had the guy Castro, who recently allegedly committed suicide in jail, the hostage of the Ohio women that he held captive.
Right. Yes, sir.
So we had that, and now we have the black man with the naval yard, the D.C. Naval Yard shootings, which we will hear a lot of other things distracting you from that, like the NRA and the automatic weapons debate and all of that kind of stuff. But I you know, Brother Mac, maybe I'm looking at it in a different way than other people. Maybe I'm looking at it wrong. Maybe I have it all twisted, messed up, and I'm just not walking around with my head on straight. But I appreciate you giving me a chance to express the way I feel about this, because I think that it's an important thing to take into account. And I brought up the example about Oprah Winfrey. If you think that Oprah Winfrey is representative of all black people, then you would also have to look at it like, just because the black man killed all those people, those 13 people, in the D.C. Naval Yard, that we are all violent, scheming, treasonous, and mentally unstable. And yes, some of that is true, but I don't think that incident has anything to do with the actions of us individually, or as a whole. I realize that's and sort of an oxymoron. But back to you, Brother Mac. That's pretty much my take on it.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much, 7752. And let me remind our listeners and those in the chat room that we are an interactive show, and we welcome your input in the form of questions and or comments. And we come to you every Saturday from 6 to 7 p.m. for an hour, and we bring one of four subjects each week. This week's subject is politics, and the question on the table is, does the behavior of one of us affect all of us? And we are we are discussing some of the aspects of our behavior and how it may reflect on us, good or bad, whether the behavior is superlative, and that if one of us has designed the cockpit of the space shuttle, we don't hear about it. If one of us is a criminal, we do hear about it. And what we want to talk about is how are we affected by the behavior of one of us? How are all the rest of us, or are we really? It's a question that's on the table, and one that's open to discussion. My bet is that many of us who are listening would have anecdotes that would answer, at least on a personal level, whether or not the behavior of one of us reflects on the rest of us. Because I remember, I think it was the Ed Sullivan Show back in the 60s. Ed had on the show a black person who did a superlative performance, and he could think of nothing better to say than, "You are a credit to your race." And it's good that some of us are familiar with that quote and the repercussions that it had, because it was considered by the Aboriginal community to have been negative, in that what is so unique about a black person doing something better than anybody else may have done it or is doing it at the time, and why would it be necessary to mention that it's a credit to his race, as if it were an exception for people like you? And it got a lot of flack. It was politically incorrect even then, and it has been a force to keep TV language somewhat politically correct when references are made to Aborigines.
Brother Matt, so,
I'm sorry, but we make the news frequently, and I personally cringe when I hear bad news that involves one of us. And I find myself hoping that when they have not put forward the race of a perpetrator, I'm hoping that it's not, quote, one of us. And I think that is because I have seen so many negative images that have been posted about us that I hope that the next one is not about us. And I see that we have two hands up. 7752, if you would be so kind, bring on the one who came up first. I think it may have been 9787. After I announce that, when you put your hand up, we do not identify you by name, location, or any other way, only by the last four numbers of your telephone number. That's how we identify you. So that when we let you know that you, when we let you know that you are on by the last four numbers of your telephone number, you have the option of identifying yourself or not. And by the way, if you have a service or a product that you wish to promote, it's okay for you to do that. But it would be incumbent upon you to identify yourself. We do not. You can speak with, to, and about us without any fear of being identified in any way other than the last four numbers of your telephone number. And so, Sun 752, if you would bring the callers on. I think 9787 was on first, to be followed by 3782. Would you go ahead, please?
All right. Caller of the last number is 9787. Welcome to the Legacy of the Nation show. How are you this evening? Yeah. Did you want to make a comment?
Yes, this is Dr. DeDC.
Hi.
Good evening,
Dr. DeDC.
Yes, sir. I'm honored to have the opportunity to speak with you. And I just want to lend my support to your program, and I will continue to listen. Is that all right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Dr. DeDC, it's our honor to have you on, sir. Do listen, and we'll leave your mic open so that you might just chime in at any time that you like. And with questions or comments. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
All right. With that being said, we're going to go to the next caller. Caller with the last number is 3782. Welcome to the Legacy of the Nation show. Good evening. Did you want to make a comment this evening?
Yes. Good evening, my brother. Yes, my only comment is in reference to us being in the news. It's definitely by design. And they just want to perpetrate, escalate, whatever, that we're so horrible, so they can put it out there to justify them carrying out what they do. And I yield the floor. Peace.
Okay.
All right.
Now,
I would like to ask you a question about what you said, though. Now, you said...
Yes.
They would like to put us out there, basically putting us out on blast. To I would imagine. I don't want to say what you're thinking, but that's why I'm going to ask. Are you suggesting that
more?
That,
oh, excuse me, I apologize.
That's okay. That they do deplorable acts, and they would like to make black people the scapegoat. Or at least they're equal to show that we live up to our stereotype, but they don't live up to theirs. Is that what you're saying?
Let me see if I would say it that way. I guess I would say it is that they're trying to put out in the public that we are such monsters and animals, while taking it. How should I say this? Taking it from themselves. You see,
uh-huh.
You understand what I'm saying? Otherwise, if we point the boogeyman is on this side, then you don't have to look at us as the boogeyman. I guess I could put it out that way. So then, if you have that image, any image of anybody, then whatever, no matter what nationality, and if you feed that constantly, then people take that in visually and they accept it as truth, and they don't look at a broader picture. Maybe I should say it that way. Regardless of what nationality that it is. But it's by design that I feel that they're putting the Asiatic out there for their purpose in order to put other stuff in place.
I agree with that.
Yes.
You know, it's a funny thing. Well, I'm sorry, Brother Mac. Did I interrupt you? I heard you. No, it's okay. Since then, part two, I sort of had a question that I wanted to throw out into the community, and that is, do you find yourself hoping that it's not one of us? When you hear bad news and they don't show an image on the TV as to who the perpetrator is, or who done it. Do you find yourself hoping that it's not one of us?
Yes, I hope it's not one of us, and also I would hope to hear less and less violence on any part.
Yes, indeed.
Around the world, period. You know,
of course.
On any people. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Brother Man, I saw the
caption in the grocery store the other day. There was a magazine when I was standing in line, and at the magazine rack was there, and there was a magazine that had on the cover, "We Are All Trayvon." And
mm-hmm.
I said to myself, yes, we are.
Mm-hmm.
But we are all Trayvon, and we are all subject to the profiling that was done on Trayvon. We all are subject to it. And I just wonder if we are aware that we are all Trayvon, and that we are subject to the preconceptions as to what they expect from us. And when I say they, of course, I'm referring to the European community, and
uh-huh.
also the Aboriginal community. We ourselves, I think, we have a tendency to adopt for ourselves the attitudes that they bombard us with. This was a sort of 2782 pointed out that we are actually subject to the prejudices that have been given to us by way of television, movies, newspapers, billboards, signboards, word of mouth. And when we keep hearing negative things about ourselves and about our people, while at the same time knowing, or in many cases we don't even know, that the good stuff is suppressed and held away from us, just as
uh-huh.
the Society of a Nation has taken on the task of revealing to the Aboriginal community some of the feats, the features, the wonderful accomplishments of our ancestors that have been hidden from us, that we are a people walking around with our heads down because the information regarding our ancestry has been withheld from us, while at the same time, the current information regarding our people, if it's negative, is waved in front of us just as a cape is waved in front of a charging bull. It's waved mm-hmm. every day, almost every hour of the day. And a steady diet of that stuff would cause even a sane person or a sane group of people to begin to question themselves, and to ask themselves the question that they ask and that we sometimes ask too. The question being, what is wrong with those people?
So,
well, now, someone who has the mic open is...
I've taken care of it, Brother Matt.
Thank you, 7752. Caller 3782, you had a noisy background, and we've silenced your mic, but we can bring you back so that if you have further questions or comments to be able to participate in the conversation, we welcome you and thank you for your participation. But the topic being, are we all affected by the behavior of one of us? And 7752, with about 20 minutes remaining, what would you say? And we welcome questions and comments too from any of our listeners and those in the chat room. What are your feelings as to whether we are affected by the behavior of one of us? If one of us does something good, we hardly know about it. If one of us does something negative, it's on the TV, it's on the billboard, it's on the radio, it's in the newspaper, and it's on the lips, and it has the Europeans gripping their bags when one of us approaches, either from the front or the rear, or on the elevator, and.
I just wanted to say that. When it comes to the deeds that are perpetrated, either by or against us nowadays, I think that is necessary for us to really take a hard look at what we consider to be good and bad anymore, because if you notice. Over the last 40 years, there has been a really big push to make sure that we never have another Muhammad Ali. And I use Muhammad Ali because he was a public figure. He was a public figure that was very, very famous, very outspoken, and very much for the advancement of black people. He aligned himself with a group, the Nation of Islam, that is solely concerned with the advancement and the promotion of black people. And so, if you notice nowadays, you don't have anybody that comes close to being the way that Muhammad Ali was, and that's by design. That's not by mistake. It wasn't as if he goofed and everybody decided that they wouldn't take that route. That's not the way it happened at all. They have certain clauses written into people's contracts, whether you are a sports or entertainment figure. They don't want to, because they don't want their money separated. They want to make sure that you don't do anything to separate people from being American, so to speak. So the question I ask is, what do you consider to be good or bad as far as what's going to affect us all? For me, I don't consider any deeds to be good if they don't serve the Aboriginal community. I'm not concerned about the things that we do on a wide scale humanitarian level. Not saying that those things aren't great things, but for what I need, and this show is called Legacy of a Nation, we are concerned with one day having a nation of our own. So the question that I put on the table is, how many good things do we ever see televised, advertised, promoted that serve our community exclusively? Now you can go; you'll have to go way back historically to find anything that gets that type of coverage in a positive light. In a positive light, in a negative light, it's a pretty decent thing that he's doing, but this sort of thing isn't good for us. It separates people. It doesn't bring people together. So we're not going to give it as much press because it really all comes down to the advertisers. They aren't going to be able to make money from that. So no matter how good the act may be for the community, needs it the most, which is our, which is the Aboriginal community, we're not going to see a widespread coverage or any coverage of that at all, because it just doesn't serve them, and it's going to, it's going to be too hard to wake up our people anyway. So, you know, how good is, how good is, good are those deeds in the first place? So, you know, going back to what you were saying, when you hear about something in the news that's really bad, are you holding your breath and hoping and praying that it wasn't a black man? Honestly, I don't think that I do that. I'm surprised when I find out that it is a black person that has something to do with it. But my feelings are that if it is, then somewhere in the background they had something to do with that. Because
as right as you may be, I think to date we don't really have any concrete evidence that might be the case. But I'd like to put something on the table with only about 14 minutes remaining, and that is, there's a phenomenon in the Western Hemisphere that has been going on for more than 50 years, and it has been going on off the shores of North America in the Caribbean, and that is Cuba. Cuba has been ruled by Fidel Castro against the wishes and under an embargo of the greatest nation on the face of the earth by their own admission. Am I coming through?
Yeah, that's right.
Cuba,
that's right.
Is a nation. Cuba is a nation of black people. Cuba is a nation. Cuba was one of the major stops, one of the major slave auction centers in the Caribbean, in the Americas, during the slave trade and for several years afterwards. Cuba was where the ships came to disembark the slaves for sale to go to the rest of the islands and to come to North America. And when Castro took over, the European Cubans fled to Miami, leaving behind the African Cubans, by and large.
Uh-huh.
With Castro as their leader, and a 50-year embargo has not toppled him. This mouse has stood up against a giant for more than 50 years. And just about everything that you hear about Cuba is negative. And the European Cubans don't allow anything positive to be said or done for Cuba. And I just wonder if we are aware or if we should even care. Because there's another phenomenon in the Caribbean, that we may or may not be aware of, and that is Haiti. Haiti has the reputation of being the only nation that has ever overcome and escaped from, has ever overthrown its slavery, its slave captors. We don't know that because we have not been taught that. We haven't had it brought to our attention. Even those of us who know about
Brother Matt.
Yes, go ahead.
I think for any of our new listeners who may not be aware of the fact of that fact that you stated about Haiti, I think you should put it in another way so there's no way that they can misunderstand what you were trying to say. Haiti, the island of Haiti, is the only pulled off the only successful independent by from slavery through war. In other words, white people were defeated by Africans who were the Haitians, and that freed the Haitians. It's the only time anywhere in history and in the world that this has happened. And that may let you know why Haiti always gets such a bad rap in the news, why it's really hard for Haitians to be able to enter the United States, why they always say that Haitians have disease and how come they're no good and how come they stay poor and how come they manage to have a devastating earthquake when on the same island the Dominican Republic had little or no effect from that same earthquake. Just wanted to make sure that people understand that Haiti had the only successful won their independence from slavery through war. They revolted, they won, and they sent word to the mainland of the United States and North America that if the black slaves wanted to be free, they could come to Haiti and be free. And that's only part of the story. That's not where it ended. But I want to make sure that our listeners understand the value and why Haiti is such an important part of holds such an important part of our history.
Thank you so much, 10752. You put that in a way that I probably would have bypassed. But with only 8 minutes remaining, I want to tell the story of the two horses that were in an international horse race, so as to illustrate a point as to how news can be portrayed to tell the story that you want to be told. The story goes that there were two horses, a Russian horse and an American horse, in a race, only two horses. At the end of the race, the American newspapers reported, "American horse wins." And in Pravda, the Russian newspaper, it was reported, "Gallant Soviet stallion came in second. Imperialistic American horse came in next to last." And they both told the truth. It wasn't. Both of the reports were accurate, but the way that it was done was to tell the story the way that it would have the desired effect. And I just wonder if that same technique, or one even better, is used to report the news in these United States of America. When they report news on us, it's usually negative. When they report news on themselves, it's usually positive. Whether really positive or not, the slant is to give the impression that they want to portray. And we need to be aware of how and why this is done. what is happening right now, for instance, in Syria, with only 5 minutes remaining, is they are building the Syrians up to be the type of ogres that should be blown off the face of the earth. How could they possibly be worthy of being allowed to live if they would kill 1,300 of their own people with, quote, gas? And someone pointed out that in the Aboriginal ghettos in North America, more people than that die every day. Every single day. But that's not news, because it isn't meant to be news. But when 1,300 Syrians are supposedly gassed by their government, it's big news and a case for international response, especially a response from the USA. 7752 and anyone else listening, how does that affect you when you hear that we are willing to drop bombs and kill maybe 13,000 more of the same people because of an unproven allegation that the Syrian government gassed some of their own people? How does that grab you? Isn't it told in a way that says, yeah, those people really are they are really bad, and they deserve to be punished. We should declare war on them, just as we have done in Libya, in Egypt, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, and now Syria. And we're going to get around to Iran. How does it grab you? Is it the way that it's told, or are those just bad people that deserve to be killed off en masse?
Well, Brother Matt, wars are about money. So when I hear those reports about anybody getting killed and us needing to invade or occupy or drop bombs or send troops, my question is always, well, where the money at? And yes, I said that right. Where the money at? Not where's the money. Where the money at? Because when I was younger and they used to talk about how the economy normally improves during wartime, I didn't understand what that meant. That never made any sense to me. I thought they meant that when...
10752, let me... With only about 2 minutes remaining, we've got a hand up from 4707. Let's bring the caller on with the question or comment, so that they may have something to say or a question that they have. If you would, bring the caller on.
All right, then mic is open. All right, caller with the last number is 4707. Welcome to the Legacy of a Nation show. Do you want to make a comment? The mic is open. Last number is 4707. Did you want to make a comment? This is the Legacy of a Nation show.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I hear
sir.
You now.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. That's good.
That's good. I'm gonna say real quick. My name is Joe, and I'm currently running an organization called Adults Who Overcome Social Anxiety, and right now we're currently seeking volunteers and people who are currently suffering from social anxiety. Okay.
Good evening. Okay.
And
but Joe, Joe?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
With only a few seconds remaining, if you have a telephone number that you would like to give so that anyone who might be able to contribute or is interested, would you do that? Would you do that right away, please? Give the number that where you can be reached, because we are out of time. And thank you so much for having time in.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Sure. Sure. My number is 267-433-4707, and I can be reached throughout the week, anytime.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you very much. And be aware that we are here every Saturday from 6 to 7 p.m., and we come with one of four subjects. Today's subject was politics. The question was, are all of us affected by the behavior of one of us? Next week, subject is economics, wherein we will be talking about the effect of economics on us, we, the Aboriginal community. And so we will look forward to being with you next week. Please take it home, and that we are already out of time. Thank you.
All right. I would like to thank everybody for coming through and supporting the Legacy of a Nation show. Please join us for another show next Saturday, same time, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On behalf of Brother Mac and 752 and the Legacy of a Nation as a whole, we wish you a very, very good night and a happy and safe rest of your weekend. And we will be speaking with you next Saturday. Peace be unto you and your family. See you later.
Be well. Peace out.